You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
Does it get any better, brother?
Does it get any better? I go through moments in my life where I'm digging on this type of music. I'm digging on this artist.
True.
But every time Michael Jackson comes on, I'm reminded why, for me, he's the GOAT.
It just doesn't get any better. It's just so...
Relax your mind.
Let's listen a little bit. Here we go.
Lay back and groove with mine. You got it.
Yeah, that's what's up, dude. I decided to open with this particular song.
Why? You have a reason.
Well, I love Michael Jackson. One of the best. But this one came on my 80s station, and I hadn't heard it in forever. And I was like, I do want to rock with Andy today.
Yes.
So you know what? It's
all night.
Art imitating life here, brother.
You want to rock with me all night?
All night, brother.
Feel that beat.
Call in to work and let's just rock together. I don't know what that means.
I was listening to the radio the other day and The Way You Make Me Feel came on.
Yeah, that's good.
And that just...
That's good. You said that's your go-to crowd pleaser when you DJ.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, that's good.
I grew up, because of my age, Bad was the album for me that I grew up listening to the most.
Who's Bad? All right, I'll tell you who's bad.
Dirty Diana. Dirty Gerald.
Yeah, she was dirty.
Smooth Criminal. Good Friends with Stevie Wonder.
That's good. That's us as well. I could open with that also. Yeah. I could also... Any Michael Jackson song. Any Michael Jackson song. Welcome in, Two Peas on a Podcast.
Is that what we're doing here?
I'll rock with you.
What are we doing?
Episode 68, brother.
68.
And Gerald is here.
Andy is across from Gerald in La Casa.
La Casa. Andy's back. Last week, by the way, very special thanks to our friend Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Netflix and Swill. Doing this new thing called Trade Off, too, which I'm going to record with him later today. I'm excited about that.
That's pretty.
But he's a great podcaster, good friend, and he filled in for you last week.
He wore my shoes.
Because you...
He wore my shoes.
Well, he wasn't here physically, so... You mean metaphorically he wore your shoes?
I guess metaphorically.
Yeah, metaphorically
he did. You know, like, big shoes... I have small shoes to fill. Like, he probably wondered why his feet hurt afterwards.
You're like, wow, these are really tight on my feet here.
Exactly.
But thank you to Dan for filling in last week on 67.
I appreciate it.
And now Andy's back in the seat, brother, and we're...
The hot seat.
The two peas are back together. Buckle up, Buttercup. I had a seatbelt installed in the seat for you. Topics to get into here. How was your week, man? You're back. It's been a couple weeks, actually. What's going on? Easter, man.
Easter.
Did you see the bunny?
That's what it's all about.
Did you see the bunny?
Now, my wife / the bunny goes crazy on the Easter baskets.
Right.
Like, they got... I have two girls, 7 and 9. They get school supplies and socks and bubbles and candy and highlighters and pens. And I mean, and she keeps
wife?
And what she says to me, is it enough? Is it enough?
She goes crazy. I do that too.
They get crazy baskets.
I do that too. Did your wife tend to lean towards more getting pumped up for like the Easter basket or like Santa Claus stuff?
Both. But she's pretty crazy with Santa Claus. She's really good at storing gifts over the year. When she sees something on sale or in the dollar spot at Target, or on clearance, she scoops it up. So she always has a little collection of things she can give.
All right.
For some reason, the Easter basket, she just has this gift.
Yeah.
I mean, she is.
Well, what's cool about the Easter basket, I was going to tell you, I think is cool, because I do the same thing.
Okay.
Especially on Christmas, where I'm like, is this enough? Like, we only spent, you know, 100 or whatever it ends up being.
Exactly.
Is that enough?
You count the presents. You know, Daddy, I had 8 presents last year.
And my wife's like, they don't know how much shit cost. Like, they don't care. This is what he wants.
My wife's you and my wife have a lot in common.
So, anyway, so with the Easter basket, what I think is cool is because I do that also, but the basket's only so big.
Exactly.
It's just like a stocking at Christmas, you know what I mean? So it's like you can only put what you can put in it.
What's your son?
Now, with that being said, I got all this shit for his basket, and then this was like a week in advance of Easter. And then I had to go back to Target for, I don't know, something else. Uh-huh. And while I was there, I got him more shit.
Of course, I did.
I got him this kite that there's no way in hell the kite's going to fit into an Easter basket. You know what I mean? So I just laid it on the ground next to the Easter basket.
It's falling out of the basket.
The bunny's getting lazy in his old age, you know what I mean?
I guess so.
So anyway, by the way, what's also funny, you know, my daughter's 16. We talk about her on the show a lot.
Did she get a basket?
She didn't get, she got a little, she got some candy and stuff, but she didn't get a basket. But she, she's on the phone with me and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, you know, I'm shopping for Logan's Easter basket. And she goes, man, I tell you, he thinks that bunny's coming in that house and believing that stuff for him. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, I thought that. How long did I think that? And I told her, I'm like, I don't know, until you're like 7 or 8. Yeah. And she's like, I can't believe I believe that. I can't believe you told
you
me.
You lied to me
for 8 years about
eight
that.
8 years.
And I'm like, honey, what are you talking about? I'm still lying. I never said the bunny wasn't real. You're saying that.
You're the one.
So I'm like, still lying.
Doubter. She's a doubter.
It's unbelievable. Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter. I had a great Easter.
It's good stuff.
Beautiful
is
day.
That, how's that fall for you religiously?
Now, for me,
what do you think, though? I mean, come on.
Jesus,
this is like some
story.
Harry Potter fiction, right? I mean, let's be honest here.
Here's the thing. The Jesus story,
yeah.
The birth, life,
all right, we
death,
only have an hour.
Resurrection.
I should have told you that.
That's a universal theme that the Jesus story plays upon. Jesus was not physically resurrected.
Okay, all right.
I mean, it's not a literally true story.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
But after Jesus' death, his disciples still experienced him in a transformative way, which was what that is all about. Now, life, death, and resurrection is happening every day, but this time of year in spring, life is coming back, and that's what that story is about.
Okay, so the physical removal of him from the tomb,
yeah,
and he is risen and all that. Can I use the word mythology?
Yeah. Well, myth is a very powerful word, but yeah, it's a symbolic.
You know,
it's an allegory.
There you go, symbolic.
It points to a reality beyond
right.
itself.
Okay.
It's important. Now, it's actually more important because it's myth. Most people think, oh, if it's not literally true, it doesn't matter. No, it matters more.
Okay.
Because it's not literally
true.
That's
deep, bro. By the way, you got a speech coming up in Carrboro, right?
Yes.
I think I'm going to be in Charlotte, but do you want to tell everybody about that?
Yeah. Well, I got a couple.
Is it this week, right?
This Thursday.
Okay, yeah.
At a little coffee shop called Oasis in Carrboro, North Carolina.
Is that named after the 90s rock band by chance?
I think so.
Oh, fair enough. They play only Oasis music?
Oh, that's awesome.
Until you speak.
Ding.
And then they turn it off.
Yes, exactly.
It's just you.
What's
and Oasis.
What's the story, Morning Glory?
Yeah, beautiful.
But a good friend of mine who's also kind of a poet and writer and kind of a mystical guy, dude, we're going to be sitting down and having a conversation.
Dude, that's going to be fucking too deep
eternity
for me, bro.
In the moment.
I would probably die in that moment.
It's kind of like talking to you, but I'm talking to someone who actually
I was gonna say.
Knows some stuff.
It's going to be like talking to me as if you actually accomplish something in your discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But I had a great week. I had a great Easter.
Look, man, I missed you. My week was great, too. You know, what's and I, you know, I'm not a super religious guy,
yeah,
which is to say not at all. But what's cool about Easter for me is just my son gets so excited.
Of course.
Man. I mean, the Easter egg hunts. My sister had one again this year at her home out there in Charlotte, and we were able to attend that. And he just racked up. I can show you pictures later, but yeah, he racked up, man. He got a ton of eggs, brother.
Yeah.
We got enough candy in this house to last me until I'm fatter than I already am, which won't take very long.
But if you think about it, I mean, the bunny, the eggs, they all represent new life.
No, I feel you.
Bunny's eggs, and that's kind of left
so it's
over
all
from
very,
pagan traditions in Europe that came over
all
here.
All very symbolic.
Yes. Yeah. Estro, Astara, all these different names we have for Easter.
All right, brother.
Beautiful time of year.
I tell you what, let's do the thing we do, man. Let's get the peas in there.
Okay.
And discuss some stuff. So the first bookend is always entertainment news.
Okay.
For the most part.
Yeah.
So I got a few here for you. So let's see. Amazon. Now, I know you're Prime. I'm Prime as well.
I love Amazon.
I mean, Prime.
They're
the
transforming.
Did you sign up for Music Unlimited yet or not?
No.
And so for $2 extra a month, you can do Music Unlimited.
Only $2 extra a month?
Yeah, if you have Prime.
Oh.
Yeah, it's more if you don't have Prime. But yeah.
See, I have
so
Prime.
I listen to
Amazon Music all the time.
Yeah.
Now, but a lot of things I find are only available on Music Unlimited.
That's what I'm saying.
Ooh,
that's what I'm saying.
I got to get on that.
Okay,
train.
So Amazon.
I got on the train.
Well, you know, Amazon has got like a whole like production company now. They do movies. They do TV
yeah.
shows now. They have their own original series, kind of like Netflix did.
Yeah, Netflix
years,
and Hulu and Amazon.
Got into
yeah,
a few years
yeah,
ago.
Exactly.
But Amazon is.
I haven't watched a lot of the Prime original series, though.
You know what?
I'll watch
wife,
a lot of Hulu's original series. I'll watch a lot
yeah.
of Netflix.
Same here.
Prime, though, I haven't watched any of their, like.
Same here. They made a lot of news with Transparent, was a big one. That got
okay.
nominated for a lot of awards with Jeffrey Tambor.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife recently started watching one that I was, like, doing work on my computer, and I kind of, like, inadvertently got sucked into it.
Yeah.
But
I
it's,
do that with my wife all the time. Like, what are you watching? What
I'm
are
gonna,
watching?
I'm
tell
gonna,
me what's going on.
I should Google it, because she, my wife, by the way, I should tell you, one of the, my favorite things about the show is I know when my wife's listening, okay, and how I know is because I start to get a flood of text of her like retractions and corrections. And she'll like correct my basically my grammar,
yeah,
because I can't talk to my fucking idiots, but I mispronounce stuff all the time,
yeah.
So I'm prefacing that because I'm probably going to mispronounce this,
okay.
But it's like the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel or something like that.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, that sounds like a great show.
It's a period piece, it takes place like in the 50s and 60s in New York, and
okay.
I think she kind of like on accident becomes a stand up comedian because she goes on stage and starts ranting, and people love her.
Interesting.
And that's kind of what I got from the first couple episodes.
Okay.
She just started watching that. But they have some good stuff. They do good productions over there on Amazon.
Okay. Good all they, Amazon.
The news story for this week is they are in the process. Now, have you ever heard of a, I'm going to get to the point, but have you ever heard of a Comedy Central show called Broad City?
No, I haven't.
It's like a female sketch comedy show.
Yeah, got it.
And one of the creators of that show is Abby Jacobson. Well, she's in the process with Amazon of creating a TV series based on the film A League of Their Own.
Interesting. Great movie. Great movie.
Awesome movie.
There's no crying in baseball.
Tom Hanks, man.
Crying in baseball.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Where do you put that Jimmy Dugan, that character from League of Their Own, Tom Hanks, where do you put that in his catalog?
It's got to be up there. Now, Tom Hanks is a good character, right? Tom Hanks is one of those amazing actors who has the ability to do kind of silly things.
Everything he does.
But with commitment. I mean, of course, you have the Forrest Gumps.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we just watched
That Thing You Do.
That Thing You Do? That's an amazing movie.
He directed that.
I think, did he write
it? He directed it. Yeah. He wrote, directed, and starred in it. Yeah.
I love That Thing You Do.
A couple weeks ago, we watched Big. My son saw
it. Oh, he's great in Big.
I would say...
But Jimmy Dugan.
Well, he does, like you said, he does drama and comedy.
Yes.
So from a dramatic standpoint.
Because there's so many.
Yeah. From a dramatic standpoint, Andrew Beckett in Philadelphia. Yeah. I mean, just forget about it. Won the Oscar for that. From a comedic standpoint, I loved him in League of Their Own.
Oh,
just such a good character, man. The Money Pit was one of my all-time favorites. Did you ever see The Money Pit?
I never saw The Money Pit, yeah.
No. One of my favorites, man. But Tom Hanks is just a treasure, brother.
He is a treasure.
Literally every movie he does. The Burbs.
Did you like Castaway? A lot of people didn't like Castaway.
Castaway?
I loved Castaway.
I mean, who would have thought I'm going to be in tears while he's saying goodbye to a volleyball? I mean, I'm
When he loses the volleyball, which is his only friend.
Bro, heartbroken, dude.
He's crying, going, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
And he can't go get him because he's floating in the ocean.
When he throws him away and goes back and gets him, and he has the blood, and he fixes the face, and he goes,
it's unbelievable.
I know you. Are we okay?
It's unbelievable.
Are we okay?
It's unbelievable, bro.
You're
my volleyball, you know? I feel that way.
Wilson.
But it's just, it's just so good, man.
Yeah, but League of Their Own, great movie.
So the comedy.
All-star cast. I mean, Gina Davis, Madonna.
Absolutely. So the comedy series over on Amazon is going to be a complete overhaul of the beloved 1992 baseball movie.
Yeah, they can't try to recreate it because, I mean, it's too good.
It's not going to have the same central characters like the ones you were just mentioning, but it will still follow all the women of the Rockford Peaches baseball team during World War II, so I guess it's going to follow them outside of baseball.
Was that a real thing?
It was a real thing. It was based on
all the guys were over in the war, mm-hmm. and the girls started playing the baseball.
Yep, and the official log line for the show is, A League of Their Own is going to be a half-hour comedy infusing the warmth, humor, and DNA of the classic film while taking a contemporary spin on the stories of the women surrounding the All-American Girls Baseball League. There you go. What do you think? I'll probably give it a shot.
We are the members of
the All-American Girls. We come from cities near and far.
Near and far.
We got comedians. Irish ones, and I don't know. I trailed off there.
We're all American.
But anyway, so that's coming to Amazon in 2019. So look for that.
Okay.
I'll give it a shot because I love that film. That's one of my favorite movies. I drafted that in the 1992 draft.
I call that a feel good movie.
That's a good movie. Let's see Netflix. So we're talking about streaming television here. We talked about Dan, who was on last week, who does Netflix and Swill. But how about this, brother? So Netflix is looking to hire. Give a job to.
Okay.
Pay someone.
Okay.
You know what a job is, right?
To cuddle with cats.
You know something, they pay someone, right? No, we already talked about that. I didn't get an offer from them. I applied for that. But they are looking to hire someone to be an official binge watcher.
You think you could do that?
I could fucking definitely do that, dude.
Yeah.
I would murder this job, brother. Yeah. They'd be like, stop watching shit.
Exactly.
We did not intend for you to watch this shit 23 hours a day. You know what I mean? But Netflix is looking to hire people to view their shows and movies, then rate them. The job is actually called an editorial analyst, and it's now posted on the company's website.
They already have those people, I would assume?
They are looking for, I think they want everyday people to do it.
You are the everyday person.
They're asking for applicants who are passionate about TV and film, but who are also deadline-oriented. So that would not be me.
There you go.
Never mind.
You got to do stuff on time?
There's no word yet on what the position pays. How you feel? Would you apply for this? You think this is a dream job alert, or this is not you? You don't want to do this.
I don't want to do this. I don't want
to
sit down.
Now, what if somebody paid you to read books? I mean, you'd do that.
Yes. The right kind of books.
Actually, they do do that, don't they? Like the editors and shit have to like read the books and like fix the grammar and shit.
I would hope. Editors.
You do that? You want to do that? Is that a dream job for you? What's a dream job for you? Well, speaking.
Yes. Ministerial work, yeah. I guess.
Yes.
I guess talking to people, going around and talking about what I think. I want we people talked about to, that in the past episode. I want folks to pay me to tell them what I think.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that in the
about
past
specific,
episode.
About specific topics.
Well, you know what? I'd be all over this, man. I love Netflix. I love watching television. To get paid to do it would be an absolute dream.
Yeah. I think you'd be good at it.
So
you're good at sitting.
Now, how do you
feel? Ever worked with Gerald? He's really good at sitting.
Yeah, I'm very good at not moving. Absolutely. And using a remote control, I can do that.
Yeah.
There has to be a remote control involved.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's your terms. Yes. And now do you have your terms, remote control?
Yes. What benefits do you offer? Remote control? Okay, perfect. I'll take it.
Remote control. That's my term. I want remote control.
Pringles? Can you throw in Pringles? Yes. All right, I'm there.
I want something that brings me beer. All right.
Did you ever watch any of, I know you didn't quote get into, but did you ever see any of or watch any of the Sharknado films?
I know what you're talking about.
Right. You never actually seen it?
I think it's hilarious. And I think the guy from 90210.
Yeah. Ian Ziering or whatever.
Yeah, Ian Ziering. But no, I never watched any of them, but I remember when it first came out, I was like, oh, that's interesting. But then it caught wind. The snakes on a plane where people kind of fell in love with it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So Sci-Fi is the television network that produces them.
Sharknado. There's been a bunch of them,
Sharknado.
Right?
This is Sharknado 6.
But I mean, what's it? It's about a tornado that has sharks in it, right?
Yeah, it's about a weather force that has sharks in it.
That's crazy. Have you seen any of them?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I've never been able to sit through a whole one.
But it's a tornado with sharks in it, right?
When the second one came out, because the first one got so much popularity and heat.
Because it's Sharknado.
That when the second one came out, I remember my wife and I had DirecTV at the time, so I DVR'd it. Because, you know, it was such a big hype around the first one.
Yeah.
It's so crazy and campy. It just had a cult following, basically. Yeah. So I'm like, let's see the second one, because people were even more excited about the sequel. And I watched literally the first, like, 10 minutes, and I'm like, I mean, I get why it had the following, because it is so campy and kind of, it's stupid on purpose. Yeah. You know what I mean? Silly on purpose. But, I mean, I couldn't take it seriously. I just couldn't make it. So I watched, like, the first 10 or 15 minutes.
Do you think that's because you weren't prepared because you didn't watch the first one?
I don't think the plot's that thick. Oh my God, how did this shark get here?
Tatum.
Is that his cousin shark? What the hell's going on here? No, I don't think it was that deep.
Okay.
But I don't know. It just wasn't me, you know?
You're not a Sharknado type guy.
No, I'm not a sharks and tornadoes person. But Sci-Fi confirmed on its website that Sharknado 6.
Six?
Is going to be the last.
Six Sharknadoes.
The last installment. Listen to some of the names, though. They haven't released a title for Sharknado 6 yet. But here's some of the previous titles. So Sharknado 2, the second one.
Uh-huh.
It's called the second one. And then they had...
It's called the second one. Because
it gets better.
You can't believe it. What is this one? Well, it's the second one.
You're going to love these. It gets better. The third one was Sharknado 3, Oh Hello No. Okay, hold on. The fourth one is Sharknado, The Fourth Awakens.
There you go.
Okay. And then last year was Sharknado 5, Global Warming. They've been going down. Yeah, I know. They didn't get very clever on that one. They've been going down with each one. They started with over 5 million viewers. Then they've been going down. And the Sharknado 5 only had 1.89 million viewers.
Still 1.89 million people watch Sharknado 5.
In real time. Yeah. I mean, not to mention whatever DVD.
That's real time. That's like when it came out.
That's when it aired. Yeah.
Is Ian Ziering in all of them?
Yes. Yes, he's like the central character in all of them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And this Sharknado 6 is going to deal with time travel. I don't know. But he's in it. Supposedly he's going to go back in time to try to stop the weather storm from happening. The sharks getting caught into
that that keeps pulling sharks out of the ocean, I assume.
I guess. I know, that's where sharks live, so I would imagine.
That might have been the smartest thing you've ever said on this show.
Is this connected to Shape of Water at all? I wonder
sharks
if there's going to be any...
Sharks are in the ocean.
I wonder if there's going to be any penis in this. I should check and see if it's connected to Shape of Water. I don't know if they're the same universe. I don't know. Maybe they're not. Okay, let's see. So we're talking about a little bit about Star Wars there with The Fourth Awakens, the Sharknado Fourth Awakens.
Okay.
But Meryl Streep is being rumored.
Woo!
There's rumors circulating on the internet, which is always a dangerous thing.
Yes.
That she is going to replace Carrie Fisher's beloved character as Princess Leia in the upcoming episode 9.
Interesting.
You seen any of those rumors?
I did see the rumors.
So it was really a fan theory and an online petition that was launched. And the online petition says, as the fans of Star Wars and Carrie Fisher, we really want Leia to shine in episode 9. And we certainly do not want her written out of the film abruptly.
Okay.
Therefore, recasting Leia is a more ideal option for us. And we believe that Meryl Streep is an ideal candidate.
So this is what the fans want. It's no like production rumors.
No, but the thing is that one of the production assistants, or I don't have the name, but one of the people involved in the Star Wars Lucasfilm commented on it.
Oh.
That they thought it was a great idea, and nobody has said thanks but no thanks.
Uh-huh.
So you know, sometimes when people say something and nobody denies it, they just kind of believe that it's a possibility.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And one important thing that I thought was really cool that I just remembered from the 90s, but Carrie Fisher and Meryl Streep were friends, first of all.
Okay.
And they've worked together where they played the same character. There was this movie Postcards from the Edge.
Okay.
Did you ever see that?
Nope.
It was like a coming of age story, and Carrie Fisher played the younger version of the character Meryl Streep played in the film. Because it took place over several years.
Interesting.
So they've actually, they kind of look alike. They knew each other. They were friends.
Caliber, I guess, of actress.
So, I mean, you know, you could. And Meryl Streep is, I mean, beloved, right?
Oh, yeah, she's wonderful.
So as a Star Wars fan, let me ask you just, Meryl Streep, sure. But, I mean, just Leia in general. She's passed on. Yeah. Carrie Fisher's gone.
Okay.
Did they do any filming for her for episode 9 before she passed?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I don't know either.
I definitely do not want any CGI Carrie Fisher.
Okay, so I was going to ask, where are you at? So are you okay with them recasting?
I don't mind. I'm good either way. I mean, I want a good story. Mm-hmm. I don't mind if Princess Leia dies before the episode 9, as long as they pay homage to her death in a good way.
You mean kind of like what they did in Last Jedi, which she's fucking floating through.
Yes, but that was like the death scene.
I know, but I thought it was. Yeah, what the fuck was it? I thought I was dreaming. I thought I fell asleep and having a dream.
There has to be a good reason for it. There has to be a good... They need to pay homage to it. So, I mean, no matter... Whatever the story, I think it's got to be story-driven. Whatever the story calls for is what I want. Like, in the last Jedi, it was a big shock to a lot of people, but the story called for Luke's character to behave a certain way.
And right.
A lot of people didn't like that.
Right.
But that's what the story dictated. That's what the story called for.
Uh-huh.
The progression of Star Wars. So, uh-huh. I mean, I don't want a CGI Carrie.
So, here...
I don't want a CGI Carrie, but I wouldn't mind... somebody playing her.
Okay, I was going to say, so if your options are A, CGI, B, recast, or C, she's just not in it.
Yeah, B or C, depending on what the story calls for, you know.
Well, I'm trying to get you to nail down an answer.
Yeah.
But you're not going to give me an answer?
Recasting would be difficult because...
Well, if it was Meryl Streep.
Because she's been, like, Carrie Fisher has been Leia for so long.
That's the thing.
Now.
That's like when you do a TV show and you try to bring in a new Joey on Friends. I mean, you just can't.
Whoa!
You just
that's
can't,
not Joey.
Oh, that's Blossom. you couldn't recast him either.
Okay, it's good.
How you doing? That's the Joey I'm talking
Joey
about.
Joey Lawrence to play Joey.
I'm talking about how you doing. How you I'm talking doing? About that Joey from Friends.
How you think she's
I mean, doing. You could recast Joey and Friends if they were redoing
but
Friends.
But because Star Wars is such a big universe and because the story matters more than anything, I'm fine with Meryl Streep.
All right. Last thing I want to get on entertainment book in here, brother. Did you get, please, well, hopefully, I actually didn't ask you. I should have asked you ahead of time. Did you get a chance to see the trailer for the new biopic documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor, about Mr. Rogers?
I did.
Okay. Now, what I want to tell you before
now,
you
I
give
thought,
me your reaction
here's
to it.
Here's the thing.
Well, before you give me your reaction to it, I want to tell you that I realized something watching that trailer. You are Mr. Rogers, brother.
Thank you.
Seriously, you
it's
remind me.
Day in the night
you me. Remind me of that character when he's sitting there talking to the little kids, and he's like, "What thought did you have today, Buster?" You know, and the little kid tells him, "You know,
hey, if you want to give me a Mr. Rogers job, I would take it in a heart."
You know what I'm saying? Like, I could see you being that type of motivational, positive person, brother.
Oh, thanks, man.
You're my Mr. Rogers when you come over here. Now, give me your reaction to the trailer.
Now, I saw one with Tom Hanks's son. I thought Tom Hanks was going to play Mr. Rogers.
Now, that is happening. That is happening, but that's not the one I'm talking about. That I don't think there's a trailer that exists for that yet. But there is one where Tom Hanks is going to be portraying Mr. Rogers and a relationship he had with a African-American gentleman at the time to bridge race relations.
Okay.
I can't remember that guy's name.
But this one, his stars...
This one is a documentary.
Okay.
It's not. It doesn't star anyone. It stars Mr. Rogers.
Okay, I saw that then. I saw the documentary.
Fred
yes.
Rogers, yeah.
I am super... Now, here's the thing. I think there are very few characters in our history who are able to portray the simple, positive goodness of someone like Mr. Rogers.
We need him today.
Who did Kermit the Frog? Or even a Jim Henson.
Jim Henson, yeah.
Those characters in our history are so very rare that are almost pure positivity, not corrupted by fame, not corrupted by anything, but just are able to remain positive and simple, universal, and have a message of hope and love that's not doesn't have any overt religious
it's
overtones.
Crazy.
You don't have to believe anything. They just want to be a good person.
Right.
And you made the great example of the race relations, of the fact that the African-American police officer was invited in to Mr. Rogers' home and said, hey, take your shoes off and put them in this tub with me. Yeah. Small things like that.
Right.
I think Mr. Rogers
during a pre-civil rights.
Transcends genres. He transcends religious movements. He transcends everything. He's just a pure positive force of nature. And I think, I'm so stoked.
He was great. You know, and I was showing my son that trailer, who's four years old. And of course, kids these days, everything's animated, everything's streaming. And I, you know, I respect that too. I mean, there's a place for that as well.
Yeah.
But it's just so crazy to me how, because when you were watching that trailer and you see all those little kids, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, just so enamored with this, just this nice guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not doing anything elaborate. He's not dressing up in costumes. Yeah. He's not, there's no, I mean, he had puppet
because
shows
it's
and stuff.
Because it's an adult. It's an authority figure, an adult, who's talking to them about real issues on their level.
But what I wanted to say, I agree with you.
It's hard to find an adult who pays attention to kids and like actually says, tell me what you think.
I agree with you, but I guess what I'm saying is there's a bit of sadness in it for me in 2018 or post 2000 probably because kids today I don't feel like would be as enthralled in a character like that.
Well, of course not. We live in a different time.
I mean, even Sesame Street
Yes.
Now, of course, I still exist. Yeah. But even Sesame Street doesn't grab children's attention as well as it did in the 80s and 90s, in my opinion.
Because now
and I feel like there's a sadness in
now that. Now we're so much is thrown at us.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Like, to now, to make a kid's show work, they think it has to be as much as possible on the screen at all times. Because our attention spans are shrinking over time.
Right.
And honestly, it's just the way we're evolving as a people. It's the way we're evolving in our attention spans. It is kind of sad because it's creating an environment or a society where we constantly need to be entertained all the
it's
time.
It's just visually.
We need to be stimulated
all the
time. It's
a lot more visual stimulation.
I always take this example. Like, you know, you roll up to a stoplight in your car and the light turns red and you sit. The first thing you do is get out your phone.
Yeah.
Stimulate me. Facebook, stimulate me.
I can't stare for 10 seconds.
You can't sit still and allow life to happen in front of you. So
I feel that.
But Mr. Rogers, an iconic character.
Really is.
I'm so excited about this.
Really is.
The
one you were talking about is a film based on his relationship during the pre-civil rights.
So I saw something about his son.
And that one's coming out too. This one is a documentary called Won't You Be My Neighbor, which just basically catalogs.
This summer,
yeah.
I'm so excited.
Basically just catalogs Mr. Rogers' kind of impact.
Is it going to be in theaters or is it coming straight to... Oh, I'm theaters. So excited.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool. I wanted to mention it. I didn't mention it last week specifically. Neighbor. I wanted to wait for you to come back because I just want to tell you, you remind me of him. I didn't know if you realized that. When I'm watching that trailer, I'm like, you know, this is a personality very similar to Andy's because, you know, no offense to me, but you're always positive. I'm not always fucking positive. You know, I would say maybe half the time, and that might even be generous, but you're just always a positive figure. You always make people feel better about whatever's going on. Of course, I'm speaking from my own experience, but I would imagine that, you know, expands to your family and people you work with and friends. So I just, you remind me kind of a Mr. Rogers character.
Well, thank you.
Mr. Ross's neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Hello, neighbor.
All right, man, look.
Get in here, neighbor. Get in here for a hug.
Let's take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to do something that we really have never done before.
Never.
For our one deep topic, because it's really an entertainment topic. We've never really done entertainment for our one deep topic. But it's an entertainment topic that I feel like might spin off into a political discussion and some other things.
Okay.
But I want to talk about it because I knew it was going to take longer than a couple minutes.
Interesting.
It's going to be kind of a lengthier discussion.
Okay.
So we'll take our break. We'll come back and we will get into that. Sit tight.
I can't wait.
Hey, my name's Paul and I'm not an animal expert.
I'm Donna, and I'm not an animal expert either.
And together we do a podcast about animals called Varmints.
Every week we pick an animal, do a bunch of research on it, and bring you some interesting facts about that animal.
But we don't stop there. We talk about that animal in movies, TV, and other pop culture.
And we talk about whether or not that animal would make a tasty dish, and how intelligent we think it is on the scale of 1 to 10.
It's exactly like one of those fancy PBS nature documentaries.
Except with more poo jokes.
New episodes go live every Thursday wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Or you can visit us at blazingcariboustudios.com.
Varmints! Varmints!
Welcome back in, guys.
Rock Hill, South Carolina.
I know you were born in a small town.
I was born in Rock Hill, South Carolina, a small suburb of Charlotte.
Yeah.
Over the South Carolina border, York County. What up?
Rock Hill, South Carolina. That's a small town. I moved around a lot after that.
And hey, be careful. Somebody let the cougar out. He's out, brother.
Cougar. Now, isn't that a word for like an older lady who preys on younger men?
Absolutely, yes.
How do you feel about that?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, but see, you're an older man, so for an older lady to prey on you, she'd have to be like 94.
I was going to say, she'd have to be dead.
Like the Loyola lady, like the...
yeah, she hail me.
Yeah, she. That's your cougar.
Sister Jean.
Sister Jean.
Sister Jean, Loyola. Congratulations on that, by the way. We're gonna talk. We're gonna talk about
final
that.
Four. We're gonna talk about. We didn't make it all the way.
We're gonna talk about that. Final. Four. Just hold your fucking pants on there, brother.
But the Catholic still won.
We're gonna talk about that.
The Catholic still won.
Put your pants. It was Easter, man.
Did you say put your pants on?
I said
on?
Keep your pants on, brother. We're going to talk about that at the end. All right, so welcome
so
back in.
Sorry, my pants came off.
What is this? Episode 68.
You don't know what you're doing.
Two-piece. I have no idea what I'm doing. So we're getting...
you fake it, welder.
We're getting into our one... My wife says that as well. We're getting into our one deep topic here. So, like I said before the break, we're going to do something different today.
Okay, different.
Because it is our, quote, deep topic. However... It's in the world of entertainment,
Okay. Which
we've never really done for this segment before. It's usually, you know, a tragic shooting or politics or, you know, healthcare. I mean, just like, you know, whatever.
What's a big thing going on in the week that we need to comment
exactly.
on?
Exactly. Okay. So this week I decided we would hone in. The reboot of the new reboot of the television program Roseanne.
Bow, wow, bow, wow, bow, wow.
Right. So, Roseanne, obviously starring Roseanne Barr and John Goodman,
plays
her husband.
Late 80s sitcom. Love that
you
show.
You got Lori Metcalf on there as Aunt Jackie.
Yes.
Sarah Gilbert's back. All the original cast is back.
All of them came back.
At least so far in the first couple episodes. So
even Beckys. Both Beckys.
I know,
were
and
there.
I like how they tied that in.
Yeah,
too.
At the very end, you see her, you're like, hey, you look just like me.
I like how they tied that in. Now, before we spin off too far,
Real quick,
when did you watch it? Last evening?
I watched it last night.
Okay.
You know why I watched it? Because you told me to.
Well, for the show, but I was hoping.
You told me
you were a fan of Roseanne in the 90s, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm glad you did because I wouldn't have. I don't think I would have watched it unless you said, hey,
that's
you need to
what
check
I'm saying
out,
because I. Okay, well, real quick.
Okay.
Because you're making me want to talk about it. But before we.
Is that the point?
Well, before we talk about it, I want to just get grade from you, overall reaction from you. Did you watch the first two or just the first one?
I watched the first one.
Okay, I watched the first two.
I wanted our discussion today to be mainly about the pilot.
That's fine.
I mean, not the pilot, though. The premiere,
right. Yeah. So what's your overall kind of score? Okay, well, first of all, before you give me a score, do you think you'll continue to watch it? Would you continue to watch
it? I don't watch a lot of TV.
Did your wife like Roseanne in the 90s?
I think I might keep watching it.
Yeah, me too.
Now this...
I added it to my queue.
I want to give you a context. I want to give our fans...
Well, can
all
you give me your
fans.
Grade first? Because I wanted to
but
start this.
My grade needs to be in a context, Gerald.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I am not a fan of reboots.
I don't like them.
I don't. I don't ever agree with them. I don't like them. I don't see any point in doing them. So as soon as you say a reboot of Roseanne, I'm like, eh. That being said, I thought it was a pretty good episode.
That's the thing.
Because they used that momentum. They used that kind of reboot nostalgia, but they also gave you a reason. Like, this is why we're telling the story.
So out of 10, what do you give it? Just based on the premiere, because that's all that you saw. I saw the first two, which kind of went together.
I'm going to do a 7.5.
Okay, I went
8.5.
I went 8 out of 10.
I'm going to do 7 out of 10.
I went
you can't do 0.5, I guess. 7 out of 10.
That's fine. I went 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Now, let me
it was
give,
good.
Now, let me give everyone why we decided to discuss a television reboot in our One Deep Topic.
Then I want to know why you gave it an 8 after that.
No, absolutely. I want to know yours as well. So you wouldn't think that a television reboot would be a One Deep Topic. I mean, you know, when Will and Grace rebooted last year, we mentioned it, but we didn't spend 20 minutes talking about it.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't think that. Well, here's the thing. And why it's kind of become news, aside from just returning after 20 years.
Yeah.
It came out leading up to the premiere that Roseanne, actual in real life Roseanne.
Roseanne Barr,
the actress,
the lady,
or the person, right, is friends with and a supporter of Donald Trump.
Okay. And that's big news right there.
She's, you know, in the Hollywood elite, I guess you would consider her, and not a lot of those people support him. Maybe Roseanne and James Woods.
Hollywood in general tends to be a more liberal crowd.
I think there's like three actors.
Have been very vocal against Trump.
Right.
I mean, they keep saying things in award shows, and we've talked about that time.
And another interesting thing about this that I find interesting is that Sarah Gilbert, who plays Darlene, her daughter, with the black hair,
she's a host on The View.
The View as well, and she's an executive producer on Roseanne.
Oh, okay.
So she came back as a producer, and she's also obviously in it,
is
a stout anti-Trump person.
Yes.
and a very pro-Hillary person. She was a huge Hillary person during the campaign.
And she has remained very vocal, away just from being an actress. She has remained very vocal politically.
Right. And she's LGBT and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So she is not Trump, okay? But she's an executive producer of the show.
Okay.
Obviously, Roseanne's name is on the show.
Okay.
Lori Metcalf, who plays Aunt Jackie, is all.
I used to wait on her at a restaurant in Studio City, California.
You used to wait on everybody, brother. I love it.
That's what I do, bro.
I love her, by the way.
I'm the Mr. Rogers of restaurants.
I love her, by the way. She was in Lady Bird, too, and we just saw that last week.
Sheldon's. I mean, she's been. She was Sheldon's mother in
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. Okay, she did a great job. She played this Bible belt gun toting Texas mom.
Oh, cool.
And of course, you know, Sheldon's this, you know, super logical
right.
atheist.
So anyway,
she's great. She's wonderful.
The story I'm trying to mold here, kind of behind the scenes, is that you have a predominantly liberal / democratic crew and
Do we know anything about John Goodman?
Actually, he hasn't.
He kind of stays out of
it. To be honest with you, he's kind of neutral. He hasn't really. Now, his character, they kind of make it seem like he's with his wife, you know, because they talk about having the guns and he's going to go get his gun out of the freezer or whatever.
But, I mean, he's like that kind of the beer drinking, blue collar.
Right, right.
Kind of like, you know, I'm going to stay out of it, but whatever.
Right. So Roseanne, you know, Trump supporter, Trump person. I won't say everyone else, but the majority of the rest of the cast and crew, not. Okay.
Okay.
They decided to do the reboot. They got a bunch of money to do the reboot. The season premiere garnered 20 million people watching it. Yeah. So it was an immediate success. It's the highest rated television comedy of the last 4 years. Not that many people have watched a television show in the last 4 years.
Really?
And
interesting.
According to, I just want to ask. Now we can spin off.
Okay.
So that's the kind of behind the scenes molding of what I want to talk
this
about.
This is the context.
Right.
In which we will discuss the show.
The context. Now, you saw the premiere, and so did I.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good. It had a lot of the Roseanne humor that we were used to in the 90s.
And just Trump stuff aside, a lot of good situations. I mean, these are spoilers. Spoiler alert. Darlene is Sarah Metcalf? Which one's Darlene?
Darlene is Sarah
Gilbert. Sarah Gilbert.
You're mixing them. Sarah Gilbert.
Darlene and her children are moving back in with Roseanne.
Right.
Because of some financial trouble. Right. I guess the husband's gone. So that's happening. What's it? A DJ is coming back from Syria.
Military.
So
military.
And
his
there,
wife is currently in the military.
Yeah, so he's coming back
Syria. And has a mixed child. So you get to, you think that his wife must be black.
So right there, Becky, she's kind of living. She's still a waitress and kind of having trouble making ends meet. Her husband is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Or the is dead. So right there, you have a lot of juice.
Right.
You have a lot of things to talk about. Even aside from what you're going to talk about, the apparent Trump situation.
Right. And
right there, you have a lot of.
And the young son is kind of a cross-dresser.
Exactly.
And he's battling with his identity, so to speak.
Says, I think that at one point the dad says, wash your hands. And he says, I can't. I just put nail polish.
Right, right.
He's like, Dan, I like your nail polish. That's paint thinner.
That's drywall.
That's drywall, son. So right there, they are consciously addressing a lot of issues in the show. That's the context right there.
And Aunt Jackie and Roseanne, who are obviously best friends and sisters throughout the original series, had grown apart because of the election.
And you don't know that. At the beginning, they're like, okay, there's this big riff. Aunt Jackie shows up at the door, opens the door. She's wearing a nasty woman t-shirt.
And a pussy hat from the women's march.
And right there, you're like, oh, here we go.
Yeah. And, you know, Roseanne calls her a snowflake. Jackie kind of insults Roseanne being clinging to her guns.
Yep.
They're giving the blessing over dinner later, and Roseanne says, most of all, thank you for making America great again.
And right before the blessing, she said, Jackie, we're about to do a blessing. Would you like to kneel?
Would you like to take a knee?
So they really played on that tension.
But what I want to point out,
which I think is pretty brilliant.
Before we get too far off,
play on that tension.
What I want to point out, though, is that they created a rift between these two characters that were inseparable in the original series.
Yeah.
It's because of the election.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to say is that's happening all over the country.
Interestingly enough, families being divided. Divisiveness.
So the show itself, you know, we agree that it was great.
It was funny. It dealt with those issues right away. You have, you know, Darlene dealing with the, I'm moving back in with my mom. You have Becky, who wants to become a surrogate for this other lady, who turns out to be the other actress who played Becky.
Right.
And they're dealing with that, with her body and her choice and stuff. You, I mean, you have all this stuff going on.
Yeah, so they took a lot of like political things that are just part of our world now and incorporated them into the show, but it's not what the show's about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like they're going on in the background. This is a middle America family.
And that's what I liked about it. All that's going on in the background.
Right.
Just happening.
Right, right. You know? So what do you think of? So the show is what it is, but what do you think of in terms of the political narrative that kind of existed? Because like you said, I mean, just off the top of my head, I mean, obviously the election. Mm-hmm. You could talk about the interracial marriage mm-hmm. that DJ apparently mm-hmm. is in. You could talk about the possible cross-dressing mm-hmm. or transgender type deal going on there. The surrogate baby.
Yeah.
You could talk about low income having to move in with your family. I mean, there's a lot of like issues that affect a lot of Americans going on.
Yeah.
And like I said, they're not the story. No. They're just kind of going on.
And that's what I like about it. You never want to, when you tell a story, you never want to make these things obvious. Like, you never want to have a whole show about this. You want to have those situations going on within a situation, within
a
dialogue.
The number one, if I could sum up, and I might challenge you to do this too, mm-hmm. but if I could sum up the reboot and give it a one-word review, mm-hmm. I would just say real. It was very...
Absolutely.
It felt very real to me, and it also surprised me because I was only watching it for the hype, to be honest with you.
Of course.
And I'm not a Trump person, so I was like, oh, God, if this show glorifies Trump in any way, there's no way I'm going to keep watching it.
Of course.
But when I watched it, I didn't expect to like it. I love John Goodman. So I knew anytime he was on screen, I was going to be just in love with the show.
Yeah.
But especially as Dan Connor. But I don't know. I was surprised. Yeah. Like, I didn't think it was going to be that great. I didn't think this many people were going to watch it because of all the Trump stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe a lot of people watched initially because of that. And they wanted to see how they were going how they were going to go about it. But how do, I mean,
here's the thing.
But go ahead. How do you feel about the political narrative there?
What I liked about it now, here's what I liked about it is that although there was this big riff and disagreement between the sisters because of Hillary and Trump, you see right away that they are making it real, like you said. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember Roseanne actually said in the show, "Don't you remember so-and-so years ago, we almost lost our house."
Mm-hmm.
And Trump, like, why'd you vote for this guy? He's bringing jobs back. He's shaking it up. So right there you see.
So she's saying what a lot of people actually said or are saying.
And then on the other side, Jackie's saying, but what do you, you know, my body, my choice. What do you think about this? About women can do anything. And what do you, like, how could you? So right there you see that it goes deeper than just these ideologies that's kind of preached on the screen or on political debates and whatnot. But what I loved about it is that all this stuff is happening in the midst of a family.
Right.
And in the between love and relationships. And you realize that this is what life's all about.
Yeah.
Life's all about relationships and family. And the fact that these are sisters who disagree.
Right.
And this is mothers and daughters and family and love and the things that bind us transcend just political opinions.
So
that's what I really liked about it. It showed that you can have these differing opinions, but maybe, just maybe, these situations and family and love and relationship comes first.
Right. And two things I want to mention. So Sarah Gilbert, who we talked about, who's an executive producer and plays Darlene on the show, was on this show called Watch What Happens with Andy Cohen. It's over on Bravo.
Okay.
But she did an interview over there. And
Post-premiere?
Promoted in the premiere. And Andy Cohen asked her, you know, what the feedback's been since the Connors are Trump supporters. And she says, quote, "The Connors are not Trump supporters. Roseanne's character is a Trump supporter. She happens to be the only one. And we will never actually say his name on the show." So they're never going to mention Trump by name on the show, which I didn't even realize they didn't until I...
Oh, how could you vote for him?
Yeah.
Him.
And,
him.
You know, they said Make America Great Again and some other things, but they never mentioned
him. It's obvious.
Now here's,
That's interesting.
Now, here's what I want to... Okay. Here's what I loved,
because she doesn't want to make it about Trump. That's interesting.
Here's what I want to... This is what I loved, okay? Mm-hmm. This is Sarah Gilbert's quote. She says, quote, "The show is not about politics. It's really about what happens to a family when there is a political divide, which is something that I think our entire country can relate to."
Family.
So now look. So now look.
Woo!
So now you.
That's why it was so good,
so
Sarah.
Now you and I are two liberal dudes.
We're
pro a very liberal agenda.
Yes.
And we both gave this show 7/8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Okay. We liked it. We're probably going to continue to watch it.
Yeah.
And then you have Trump, our current president, who does not share our views, and we often disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
he called Roseanne to congratulate her.
Yeah.
And he also thought it was a great show.
Well, he so mainly likes it because of the ratings.
So now I'm going to, well, probably.
but okay, go ahead.
But now I'm going to use that as an example. Yeah. So now, this is going to sound super cheesy, but is this a situation where something as simple as a television show, and we talked about this with sporting events too, actually, in the past, can possibly bring people together?
I think so. Because
now all households can be watching this and enjoying it.
It wasn't a liberal show. It wasn't a conservative show.
It was a little bit of both, right? It was a little bit of both.
It wasn't a pro-Hillary show, and it wasn't a pro-Trump show.
Right, right.
It was just a show about a family having this rift because of this divide. So, I mean, I can see individuals from both sides. I hate even saying side. From both sides who support different things. I can see all of them because they never once came out and said, this show is in support of guns, or this show is in support of no guns, or this show is in support of this or that. It's just a show about a family going through something. And we can all relate to that because we're all part of a family.
And like I said, it seems real to me.
Yeah.
It seems real to me.
So I think you said
a couple weeks ago, and Dan actually kind of repeated your final thought last week, and I think both of you nailed it, but I mean, challenge yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, don't, if you, and we've said, we actually probably said this on episode one or two, but if you only surround yourself with people that agree with what you agree with, and you never talk to anyone that has a differing opinion, then you're missing out on half the world, brother. Yeah. You're missing out on half of the views in the world, arguably.
And you're never going to grow because you're never going to be challenged.
Right. And I'm not saying, and we've also said you can't change people's mind. And this show is not going to change my mind.
No, of course
I'm not going to watch this show and go, oh, well, Trump is making America great again.
Yeah.
It's just going to be entertaining to me because it's going to be a real depiction of a lot of homes around the country. Now, you know, luckily for me, me and my wife have the same views. So I don't have to, you know, battle with her as far as what we believe in. But there, you know, my mom voted for Trump. Her current husband, my stepdad, is a pro-gun, pro-Republican person. You know, that's kind of what we're dealing with here. So we face that kind of tension, if you will, every time we have a family gathering. Now, we were together on Easter. Nobody brought it up. I usually stay away from it. You know, my mom knows I do a podcast, but she doesn't listen to it, thank God. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is something that's happening. And, you know, what I just wanted to say, politics are not actually a serious part of the story of Roseanne. Mm-hmm. They're part of the landscape of that show. And we kind of talked about that. It's kind of going on in the country.
It's just about a family.
Yeah.
And I love it that, you know, I mean, so often we want so strongly to make a statement.
Yeah.
We want to make a statement for what we believe in. We want to make change, you know. But this show illustrates that at the end of the day, maybe the best statement you can make is getting off of your soapbox and relating to someone.
And I'm going
to
tell you something.
You know, speaking to someone at their level, saying, you know, this is our family. This is what we're about. I can tell you what I'm about without preaching to you.
And I'm going
to
tell you something.
I'm just
tell you,
showing you that this is how we're related.
Right. And I'm going to tell you something from a television reboot standpoint, because I'm with you. Let's come up with original ideas. We don't have to reboot everything in the world.
I don't want to see reboots.
But I will tell you something. Roseanne, because of the election and because of what the majority, if not all, of American families are being faced with since the election, is just a divide, and there's a divide in the country, is that they benefited from being able to use that as a backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now Will and Grace, which I'm still watching the reboot of Will and Grace, and I love those characters, but there's nothing new from the early 2000s when it went off the air. Do you know what I mean? It's just like them 15 years later.
Yeah.
We talked about if Friends came back, it would just be Friends hanging out in the coffee shop 15 years later.
No desire to see a Friends reboot.
But when you have a middle America family, blue collar, dealing with issues
all
of
these different things,
dealing with issues of children's and military and interracial marriage and their daughter struggling and had to move back home. I mean, that shit that middle America families and lower income families have to deal with every single day.
If I can preach for a moment.
Yeah, of course.
What this show, I think, teaches us, and the grand lesson here, that you can have disagreements and you can have situations you're uncomfortable with, whether it is transgenderism or interracial marriages or political supporting or political unsupporting. You can have all of that. But if you love first, that's what gets us through it. Because what binds a family together? Love.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship. Because you are my sister, or you are my brother, my son, my mother, whatever, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond your political views, beyond what you think.
I agree.
So it teaches us that, well, what's going to get us through this? Well, love's going to get us through this.
I agree.
Because even if you think of like as Americans, as human beings, as just sentient beings, we're family first.
Yep.
You know?
I agree.
But beyond our agreement.
I'm going to keep watching
it.
I'm going to keep watching it, brother. It comes on Tuesday evening, so I might actually watch the new one tonight. And, I try to get my wife to watch it, but she wasn't a fan of it in the 90s.
Yeah.
So she doesn't really know the Connors.
And you got to kind of, I mean, it is a reboot. So you kind of have to, I think it draws you in.
One thing I'll tell people to be careful about, because I know we have probably an all, if not very large, liberal audience, is be careful like what you stay away from just because Trump's name's on it. Like, because be careful, because we're not Trump supporters, but we enjoyed this program and we feel like it can assist in bridging a gap between those types of people. That's what we think. But, you know, like I've seen people online that are like, I'm not going to watch it. She supports Trump. And that's the exact same thing that conservatives do when they're like, I'm not going to watch the Oscars because they're talking about Me Too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, just don't boycott something without giving it a shot first.
And I think it's,
you know what I'm saying?
Don't be afraid Don't be afraid to
Don't be afraid to be challenged. There you go. Yeah. That's a very good way to put it. But now, if you watch it and if you give it a shot and it's not for you, then that's fine. Yeah. But it's kind of like with my son when we talked to him about eating new foods.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, if you don't taste it, you don't know you don't like it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, and he'll do that. That's a good point. He'll do that. He'll be like, that's disgusting. I'll be like, dude, you don't know that. You haven't eaten it. Now, if you take a bite and it's disgusting and you spit it out, then I'm not going to make you eat it. But you got to try it, brother.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So if this intrigues you, if you liked Roseanne in the 90s, for example, why wouldn't you give it a shot now? Yeah. Now, my wife's different because she didn't watch it in the 90s. Yeah. But somebody that watched that show for 10, 11 years, and now they're not going to watch it because they heard Roseanne's a Trump supporter?
Yeah.
To me, that's not the brightest way to go about it. Help yourself out here. Challenge yourself.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's take a quick break, brother. We only got a few things in our pop culture book and we're running out of time. When we come back, we'll wrap up, Andy. Stay beautiful.
It's hard not to.
Sit right there, bro.
It's hard not to.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Justin. We are the Epic Film Guys, and we'd like just a moment of your time to talk about an extremely important event coming up this May.
Last year, we hosted the Live Stream for the Cure, a 12-hour live stream fundraiser where we raised $2,500 for the Cancer Research Institute.
86 cents out of every dollar raised goes to research toward finding a cure.
And this year, we're aiming to smash that goal, and we need your help to do it.
Join us from May 18th through the 20th for 30 hours of amazing live stream content from us and a whole host of amazing podcasters who will be joining us to try to reach $5,000.
For more information, please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com. Together, we can make a difference.
Welcome back in. Two Bees on a Podcast.
Back.
Episode 60. Holy shit, I got to look it up. 68. 68. Ooh, next week 69. What are we going to do for that, brother? Ooh, Creepy Gerald's going to be hosting that episode.
Creepy Gerald hosts every episode.
That's my special episode, brother. Episode 69. We got to do like a fucking 4-hour special or something. Okay, let's get into some pop. We only got a few minutes left. Luckily, only a few pop culture topics here.
Yeah.
So real quick, let's announce it. Villanova won the national championship in college basketball.
They won it, what, 2 years ago?
They did. They beat UNC. Thanks for bringing that up.
Okay, no problem.
At the buzzer. But this year, they defeated Michigan 79-62.
Yeah.
So you picked Villanova to win.
Did
I? And I picked Michigan to win. So we had the final, but you are the ultimate.
I picked Villanova to win?
You are the ultimate.
Look at me.
You are the ultimate champion, brother. A lot of people had.
I am the champion, my friend.
I guess so. What do you think about, I didn't know this until I went to watch a game last night. They aired the national championship game on TBS.
Why would they do that? Always network. Always network.
It wasn't on CBS.
Always
it was on
network.
It was on Turner Broadcasting.
You have to make that stuff network available.
Wouldn't it be on CBS?
Network.
I flipped on CBS. It was like
a satellite feed.
It was like Law and Order or some shit. And I'm like, what the hell is this? What's a national championship game? So then I'm having to follow it on my damn phone. Yeah, like, you know, I'm trying to watch it on YouTube.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Things like that. Super Bowl, NCAA championship.
Ridiculous, brother.
Big things. They need to be on network.
Ridiculous. Anyway, congratulations to Villanova Wildcats. They're wild down there, brother. They're wilding out, brother.
Is Villanova,
Pennsylvania, I believe. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. I think Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I could be fucking way off, but I think it's
Utah,
I think it's
something like that.
I think it's near
it's
Philly.
It's actually in North Dakota.
In fact, I'm probably getting a text from my wife right now. Ding, there it is. It's not in Philadelphia. It's you dumbass. It's in wherever the hell it is. All right. So have you seen the I like this one. I kind of amended this for two different reasons. Okay. Have you seen the, when you're out in Target or whatever, novelty shops, the Funko Pop Heads? Have you seen those, the big bobble
people
heads?
Love the Pop Heads.
Yeah.
Trinkets. People love trinkets.
Yeah. So they're,
see, I collect Buddhas and like religious little things. That's trinkets. The basic trinkets.
If you turn behind you there, I actually have those of Jack and Sally there from Nightmare Before
you
Christmas.
You mean in your little chamber of toys in over here?
Weird glass case
your
thing.
Glass case of toys.
I also have a lot.
They're
let's
toys.
Talk about some of the stuff
hey,
out
Gerald,
there. I have some good
they're
shit
toys.
They're toys, brother.
They're toys.
But they're locked up, you know.
They're not toys. They're collectibles. Well, you're collecting toys. The only difference is you don't open them and play
you're
with
collecting
them.
A sad life. This is just exactly. This is just niches in the timeline of your life, brother. Wow. Okay. by the way, this is a good time to tell you, I want to be buried with those. Okay. So I got those over there, but the Funko, the pop heads, they're just like bobbleheads of popular culture.
People love
figures.
Pop
heads, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Funko, the company that creates those.
Funko.
Is releasing a...
They don't bobble, do they? They don't bobble.
Oh, do they?
They don't bobble.
I don't know. I thought
you never take them out of the box. I don't think they bobble.
I apologize. I thought they did. I think they have some that do bobble.
Okay.
Maybe. Maybe there's a bobble line. There's a non-bobble line. I don't know. Anyway, they're pop heads, okay? So Funko is creating a line of cereals that is going to feature new pop heads. So the cereal...
Wait, like
the
pop head toys in the cereal?
Yeah, bro, both. Well, it's a fucking cereal. So.
What a great way to sell cereal. You get the pop heads in the cereal.
Exactly. So they're going to be $7.99 a box.
$7.99 for a box of cereal?
Well, it's going to include...
My wife would not let me.
It's going to include a pop head.
My wife would not let me.
How much is a pop head that you buy in the store? $10. Easily.
You know why I don't know that? Because I don't buy toys.
I want to say they're like $10. Okay. If you get the small ones, they might be $5.
Okay.
But they're like $5 to $10.
You got a pop head? Let me check.
So, and I have the Jack and Sally from Nightmare. So,
those are big pop heads.
Yeah, brother. Those are fucking, that's a big line right there, brother. So listen, Funko cereal has licenses for a lot of these kind of pop culture icons. Okay. So the cereals are going to kick off with, there's going to be a Freddy Krueger theme.
Freddy Krueger? That's not like a Marvel character or something.
Elvira.
Ooh, Elvira.
And Beetlejuice.
Oh, Beetlejuice!
Yeah, those are going to be the first.
Why are they going dark first?
Yeah, I guess for Halloween perhaps. Yeah. But they're going to be the first three. Here's what the Funkhead or the Funko creator, Michael Becker, said. He said, quote, "I used to watch cartoons on Saturday mornings while I was eating cereal. There are prizes in the cereal and it will sell for $7.99 a box. When you add milk to the Freddy cereal, it turns blood red.
Ooh.
With the Beetlejuice cereal, you add milk and it looks like slime.
Ooh.
They're going to be available in collectible store outlets such as FYE as opposed to grocery stores. And they're going to go on sale this summer. They'll start selling this summer through the fall.
I wonder if they're available like places like FYE, they'll go bad. Well, they don't really sell a lot of food.
I mean, they'll have an expiration date. Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm fucking getting them.
Yeah, which one you want?
All of them. Yeah. Well, Elvira, I don't know. I mean, I liked Elvira.
The Mistress of Destruction.
I'm definitely going to get Freddy Krueger and Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I love Beetlejuice. It was a great movie.
Now, will you eat the cereal? Or was it a collectible? You'll keep it for like 100 years. Should I put it in my case over there? What do you think?
Probably, I guess so.
I'm probably going to eat it. Okay. My son's going to want to eat it too. So we'll eat it. We'll have blood red milk. It'll be great. I don't know. I think this is cool. You don't think this is cool?
Yeah, I think it's cool.
Because it's like merging like memorabilia and cereal.
Cereal is one of those things that you can make so much fun because it's something that you can store easily, like grains, I guess. But I guess, I mean, cereal's always been fun. I love fun cereal.
I'm a cereal killer, brother.
I eat like Raisin Bran.
I'm a cereal killer, brother.
I eat cereal that, speaking of killing, I eat cereal that doesn't kill me.
Well, me, I'm dying a slow death, brother. Listen, how about this one? So, all right, so... You know I love cereal. You know I love horror movie icons. We just talked about those two things.
I love cereal.
However, one thing that really I stand out, you know what I mean? And you nailed me for this on the show. I don't like to move, okay? So if
so
I
you want your cereal brought to you.
More or less. Okay. So if I can sit in one spot for a number of hours in a row, I'm in good shape. The reason I bring that up is Panasonic has created something called the KU fridge, the KU.
The KU.
KU for KU. And it's their latest prototype robot. What it is it's an autonomous fridge that brings you drinks when you call it by name.
Interesting.
It responds to voice commands and it can bring you refreshments on demand. So you just say, hey, KU, bring me a beer. And the fridge fucking rolls over to you. So, you got anything to say
what's
before?
What's the difference between that and just putting a fridge by your chair?
I thought you were going to say, what's the difference between that and my wife? And I was going to say, the fridge would probably love me. The fridge would actually do it.
Yeah.
My wife's like, fuck you.
Haven't we talked about this already? Like,
we talked about robots.
We have talked
bringing
about
you shit.
We have talked about so many things. That give you the opportunity to sit still.
Now, we have talked about a robot.
I feel like every time a new thing comes out, gives you the opportunity to
right,
sit down.
Right.
For a while.
Wow. I gotta fucking talk about this.
Like.
Okay. So the KU maps out your home with embedded sensors so it doesn't like run into the furniture and shit. So skeptics, AKA you, say that this is going to make our society even more lazy.
Probably.
However, Panasonic reminds folks that this could be a huge help to the elderly and the disabled.
But the elderly and the disabled aren't going to get these. Gerald's going to get these. Able-bodied Gerald.
Bring me a beer, KU. I don't want to move.
Have you seen the movie Wall-E?
Oh, yeah. I have.
We're going that
way. Yeah, that's based on me. The lead guy that sits in the chair.
Red is the new blue.
We're out of time, brother. I got one more, though. Okay. And I just want to get your reaction. So media giant, the Sinclair Group.
Okay. That's a media giant.
They're under fire because basically it went viral that they had over a dozen local news outlets.
Over a dozen.
Yeah, over a dozen. Reporting the exact same script for a promotional commercial.
Not the same story, the same script.
They read a script. It's like,
here's what it is. It's an embedded commercial.
Basically.
Let's face it. It's an embedded
commercial. And they all read the same script, and people started kind of picking up on it across the country. Sinclair Group is known as a conservative outlet. They own over 190 stations across the country, including some on NBC, which obviously is liberal. But here's what the founder of the Sinclair Group said. He said, quote, "We find it curious that we would be attacked for asking our news people to remind their audiences that unsubstantiated stories exist on social media."
You did not ask,
unquote.
You did not ask your reporters to say this. You gave them a script to pump you up and basically say, guess what? There's a lot of fake news out there. We are not fake news. Listen to us. Listen to us.
So is this reminiscent of like a North Korea type propaganda where the newscasters say, it can only say what they're told direction. They can say?
The difference with the North Korea propaganda, because it's government propaganda.
Yeah.
But I mean, the government's not there yet. I don't think our government's there yet. But I mean, our president definitely promotes a specific agenda. And I mean, of course, we all have promoted an agenda. But the thing is, news is supposed to be as unbiased as possible. They're supposed to pride themselves on being individual and thinkers. And,
Yeah,
exactly. So when you have a script that's promoted by a company, I mean, of course it's going to be biased. I mean, basically, I mean, it's not the end of the world. I mean, they own all the companies, so they can do it. But, I mean, it's a commercial. It's a commercial. It's what it is. It's a commercial saying, hey, don't trust those news station. Trust us.
Yep. So we talked about earlier. That's cool. We talked about earlier League of Their Own becoming a television program. And we had some other movie topics today with Mr. Rogers and some other stuff.
Okay.
So what movie do you actually want to see as a TV show, or do you think would play well as a TV show?
Now, the first thing that came to my mind, and I love these movies so much, and I don't know, because it's been done before, but the first thing I think of is Back to the Future.
Mm,
Back to the Future, because I love time travel. You think you have shows like Quantum Leap and Doctor Who, where they're always moving out of time. But I love the idea of just a young kid, you know, getting trapped in a time loop where he's going, he keeps going to different times and trying to do things. And I like that idea.
Quantum Leap was cool.
Yeah, I like that idea of like, you know, you have the geeky professor, you have the young kid who is his friend, who kind of get stuck in this kind of time traveling loop.
Right.
Where they keep going to different times and doing different things.
Right.
It's almost like a Mr. Peabody and Sherman
where he
takes the sun over and over
again.
That's
true.
I just like the idea of this kind of the geeky professor and the hip kid.
I'll stick with our Tom Hanks theme today and I'll say Big. Just having a TV show where the kid's trapped in a grown-up body.
Ooh!
You know, and he has to live his life as a 30-year-old.
Because there's
really
so many situations of having a job, doing laundry, dating, so many different things. So
I mean, it was a little creepy that she was like having sex with basically a 12-year-old in the film. But at the same time, I felt connected to that. I was like, I gotta see this.
Yes.
You know what I mean? All right, let's get the music back in here for you. Of course, the King of Pop's gonna give you background here, brother. And I'm gonna let you give your final thought on episode 68, Andy.
I just want to remind you the same thing that Roseanne reminded me. That love is what binds us together. And we have different opinions. We have different perspectives. We come from different backgrounds. We have different interests. But love is something that binds us all together in relationship. And remember that you can disagree with someone. You can want someone to change. You can want someone to go away. But if you love them first, then you can reach them. You can connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
So love first. That's my final thought today that Roseanne gave me. Love first.
It's good stuff,
love
brother. First. It's good stuff. I'm going to watch the new episode tonight, actually. I'm going to keep watching it, and if it continues to grip me, I will continue to watch it, brother. I watched it in the 90s for 10 years. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I?
Why wouldn't I?
It is not a shock to me that Roseanne...
And you get to sit down. You get to sit down while you watch it. That's great.
It is not a shock to me that Roseanne, and I'm talking about Connor, Barr, or otherwise, is a Trump supporter. It's not a shock to me. I love John Goodman. Whatever. All right, brother. That's it for episode 68. You can find all our information in the show notes. Check us out. Do all that stuff. And then come back next week for Andy and I as we do episode 69.
Wonderful.
All right. I'll try to be as uncreepy as possible next week, but make no promises,
you can
brother.
Try.
I make no
That's like
promises.
A dolphin saying, I'm going to try not to swim today.
All right, man. I'll see you next week,
all
brother.
Right, brother.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.